Hello and welcome to the Baseball Wisconsin Podcast. I am your host, Tim Gotzler. All right, so today's episode takes us into the seventh inning of Game 6, where we sit down with Jay Wyszynski. Now, Woj was the head coach in 2023 and many years prior at Whitefish Bay, the 2023 Division I state champs. So we're going to talk a lot about the season that was, the few seasons leading up to it, his incredible career at Whitefish Bay, obviously capping off a tremendous state tournament, an incredible state final between Whitefish Bay and Hortonville, and, you know, go into all of that and really put a bow on that 2023 season, right? I'm releasing this episode on March 17th, 2024. I mean, just hours before the 18th, which is, you know, the first day of the 2024 season. Just felt like it was appropriate to release this episode, as we really look into the next season of 2024. So, if you've been following news throughout the state of Wisconsin, Coach Wyszynski is actually now at Germantown High School. So, he talks about ending his career at Whitefish Bay, making this transition to a new school, a new stop for him. You know, and along the way in his fantastic coaching career, he's had a tremendous amount of success. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to coach in this area, the Milwaukee area, against him, around him. His network of coaches, you know, he's part of that Whitewater tree, and just done an incredible job at all stops along the way. So, really love this episode. He and I get to, you know, go down memory lane a little bit of, you know, our teams at Menominee Falls and Whitefish Bay have played each other the last 2 years, one time in the state tournament, one time in a sectional final. It's amazing what baseball, how that brings guys together. We had some good laughs on here, but it's also just a good episode to end, you know, that this off season of 2023 and, you know, on the doorstep of 2024. So anyways, without further ado, 2023 Division I state championship coach at Whitefish Bay High School, and now head baseball coach at Germantown High School, Jay Wyszynski. Hey coach, how you doing today?
Good. How's everything going?
Outstanding. Hey, thanks for jumping on with us. Well, let's get started. Let's give the listeners some of your background. Walk us through your baseball journey. Where'd you grow up? A little bit of your playing and then coaching career.
I went to Greenfield High School, grew up in Greenfield. From there, I went on, I played for Coach Miller at UW-Whitewater. After I was done playing at Whitewater, I was fortunate enough to go over to Slovenia with Coach Vo, you know, and play over there for a summer and got to win a Slovenian national championship. Did that, played a year of independent league ball in the Atlantic Coast League for the Spartanburg Alleycats in South Carolina. And then, kind of started my coaching journey after that.
All right. I got to go back to indie ball, Spartanburg, South Carolina. I mean, there's got to be some of your great memories there playing overseas. Like, what's the biggest things you learned, you know, playing either out of the country or in a different part of the country? What was more eye-opening to you?
I think the big thing was when we went over to Europe, you know, it was 94, when we went over and played, and, you know, baseball was, it's more popular now over there than it was. So, you know, it depended on what country you were in, how advanced their baseball was. When we got to go play in some of the tournaments, like in Germany, and we went up to Holland and stuff, the teams were better, but there were also a lot of Hispanic players, there were a lot of American players, you know, there were a lot of Australian players that were coming to play, on some of the teams out there. So it really depended on what country you were in, like how advanced the baseball was. So that was pretty interesting. And, the biggest thing about going down south to play, it was like the lot in indie ball, you know, you get a lot of guys that were, you know, fringe guys that, you know, didn't get drafted, you know, solid players, but, you know, not good enough that, you know, a major league organization wanted to draft you. But then you also have a ton of guys that have been released, you know, maybe towards the end of their career or maybe, released and trying to get hooked back up with somebody so they want to go and play. But, you know, just getting to play with guys, you know, we played with some guys from, you know, like a lot of SEC schools, you know, like Auburn. We played with some guys from Alabama, ACC schools, like some Clemson guys and stuff like that, Florida State guys. So it's like you kind of got to put yourself up against, you know, coming from Whitewater, you kind of got to measure yourself up against the guys that did get drafted and kind of see, you know, maybe why you didn't, or you can do some of the things that they can and stuff like that. But it was really cool to meet people from, you know, everywhere and all different talent levels, and just the way that they approach things, like, one of the big things that I learned was, like, especially some of the guys that have played pro ball for a few years, like, you kind of learned about, you know, the routines, like what you go through every day, like, hey, let's go do this. And then, you know, it's, you know, maybe, you know, some weights or something, then let's go out to BP, let's go through our long toss, you know, and extra things, you know, that you didn't do maybe in college, but you kind of learned and they picked up from the different organizations, or maybe some different tweaks with like hitting or something like that. And you got to talk to a bunch of people and learn a bunch of different things. So that was really cool. And our manager down there, I don't know if you remember the name or not, it's a pretty long time ago, was Walt Williams from the Chicago White Sox. He was our field manager. So just to be able to hear some of the stories from when he played in the bigs and just kind of laugh at some of the things that he did, and he'd tell stories about guys and stuff. And it was cool to like actually be able to talk to somebody and learn from somebody that had been there already. So that was kind of the biggest thing I took away from that.
Well, we appreciate you going back to memory lane for us. And, you know, there's one thing baseball guys like to do is tell stories. So eventually, you know, your teaching and coaching career gets started. So where did you start, and, you know, kind of walk us through that journey on the teaching coaching side?
Yeah. Well, when I finished playing, I went back to school, to get my teaching license, cause I graduated non-licensure. And, when I went back to school, I was helping out as a grad assistant with Coach Miller. And we were at practice one day in the spring, and he calls me over and he's like, "Hey, Wojo," he goes, "are you interested in coaching high school ball?" I'm like, never really thought about it. You know, I was 24 at the time. So I'm like, I haven't really thought about it yet. And he's like, "Oh," he goes, "I just got a call from somebody's like Waukesha South's coach just stepped down." He goes, "If you're interested, I'll get you an interview." So I was like, okay. I'm like, cause you know, someday I'd probably like to do it. So let's see what an interview's like. So I ended up going and, you know, I ended up getting an interview, and I honestly didn't think I was going to get the job right away, because I figured there was way more qualified people than me. And it just so happened that everything worked out. So that's where I started, and was out at Waukesha South back in 1996.
All right. So you're 24. It's funny. That's why I got my first head job at 24 too. And I mean, I'm sure much like you, I thought I knew everything. I thought me just showing up would win us the state championship. I could unlock everything that they ever thought they could get. Go back to that 24-year-old version of yourself. You know, what were the biggest like cringy moments that you could think of?
Well, for the guys that know me and are going to listen to this, let's just say I was a little bit more wild and probably a lot more obnoxious when I was younger. You know, kind of like you said, when you first start coaching and you're younger, you kind of think you got everything down pattern. You think you know what you're doing. Probably watched too much TV and saw too many managers coming out of the dugout and screaming and stuff like that and yelling. So, you know, honestly, when I was younger, that's kind of, I was way more, I guess a hothead would probably be an accurate description than what I am right now. One of my bigger regrets, knowing now what I know, I mean, would I have been that way when I was younger? Probably definitely not as often, maybe once in a while, something might've came through. But yeah, I mean, for the guys that, you know, I've known for the whole time they were coaching, umpires would probably tell you the same thing. When I was younger, I could get a little wild once in a while. So I'd say that's probably one of the biggest changes between now and then. And then being able to, you know, talk to a bunch of guys and other coaches and things like that, and kind of network and learn and watch guys and stuff like that, and you know, kind of see, well, you know, that kind of really does work a little better than me getting a little angry all the time or something like that, and kind of getting away from that. Not that I never do anymore. I mean, it's not too often anymore that I do, but you know, it'll happen occasionally. But I think I was way more wild when I was 24-year-old me, for sure.
Well, you had another stop along the way. So Waukesha South, and where does the baseball journey take you next?
Yeah, after Waukesha South, I spent 1 year at Greendale, which, if for me, being a Greenfield guy, it was different. You know, going your whole, you know, growing up in Greenfield, that's always our biggest rivals, Greenfield, Greendale. And I still never forget putting on a Greendale uniform for the first time. My wife is from Greendale, so she was all excited when, you know, I did. And probably the weirdest thing I ever did was do that, was to put on that uniform. It was weird. I was only there for 1 year. you know, and then after that, my daughter was born shortly after. So I kind of, I hung low a little bit. I actually, when Jim Pease was the coach out at Sussex, I was his assistant for a couple of years until he stepped down. And then my daughter was real young. So I was over at Pius for 2 years with Quijas and Henry and those guys, you know, because it was fantastic because Henry's wife, Lynn, got to give her a shout out. Auntie Lynn used to watch Taylor, you know, when I was at practice, or I could bring her to games and stuff like that. So it worked out pretty well. And, you know, as I was doing that second year, I was teaching at Vincent High School at the time. And for the old guys that are listening to this, Dick Sykes, the old coach at Nicolet, was one of our social studies teacher. And I had known Dick really well because played lakes with Dick for a couple of years and then played for his dad at Butler with some of the other Whitewater guys. And he had told me that the Whitefish Bay job was open if I was looking for, you know, something. And Taylor was a little older. She was, I think, 5 at the time. And I was already taking her around places and she was good. So, you know, I ended up applying and going over there because I thought it was time, you know, maybe to get back into it. And then, you know, from that point up until, you know, this last year, I spent whatever that was, 16, 17 years at Whitefish Bay.
All right. So we're excited to hear about your next journey here at Germantown. But I want to go back to maybe you tease some of this out there already. But, you know, along this journey that you've been on, you know, you talk about some of your, maybe your Mount Rushmore of coaches, guys who've had the most influence. You know, you talked about Coach Miller and other guys. So who stands out when you think about maybe those 3-4 guys that have had the biggest impact on your coaching career?
Well, I definitely say Mills, positively. You know, the big thing was with Mills, you know, he was willing to give guys opportunities. And, you know, not just as a player giving us an opportunity to play, but, you know, there were a lot of us that, especially some of the guys that were teachers, you know, that graduated or finished up their eligibility and still like had to do their student teaching the next year or something like that. He always gave us that opportunity to come in there and see what it was like to be a coach and see if you really wanted to do it. You know, and I think that helped me a lot, like really kind of embrace the whole coaching thing because, you know, just finishing playing, didn't really know if that's what I wanted to do. You know, I knew I was going to teach and see what happens. And yeah, maybe, but then him giving us that opportunity and then giving us responsibility, it wasn't one of those, hey, you know, go pick up the balls there, you know, go in the cage and throw some batting practices. Like he actually gave us like real responsibilities, like in-game stuff and practice planning. And, you know, that was huge with him doing that and kind of, you know, teaching us how to lead, you know, not only just being a player and how to be a leader, but, you know, doing it by example, like as a coach and, you know, being that guy to show guys how to do things the right way. And if you did mess up something, how to correct it and not do, you know, anything crazy. And, you know, he was a pretty mild mannered guy 99% of the time. And we all kind of fed off that. So, you know, that was great. And, you know, kind of like I mentioned with him giving us opportunities, I think another big thing that he taught all of us was the importance of building relationships, you know, not just with your teammates, but, you know, like with your coaches and understanding it's like, hey, you know, they're here to help you out. They got your back, whether it's a baseball thing, you know, it's something with school, something with family, you know, he taught us like the responsibility. He was like, you could talk to, you know, like Stouty and Feather and Vo and all those guys. It was like having a second dad, you know, it was like our Whitewater dad, basically, not just our coach. And you could go to him and talk to anything and his door was always open, whether, you know, it was his office door, you know, the dugout door, you know, his home, you know, you could always talk to him and he made it very clear that he was always there for all of us, you know, no matter what. So that was always huge for us. You know, one of the big things, and I think the rest of the guys would tell you too, Mills was a genius fundraiser. I mean, that guy could find a way to squeeze money out of a rock. It was fantastic. Just all the different things he did in order to raise money, you know, like to pay for our trip every year when we went to California, we went to Florida, and to always have, you know, like the in-between, you know, doubleheader meals and stuff like that, and to get us our extra gear, you know, our jackets or our bags or our shoes or whatever. He always knew, you know, what kind of fundraising to do. And, you know, that was real important. And I think the rest of the guys would tell you the same thing. Like as we go now and try and, you know, raise money for different things, you know, just learning from him some of the things that you need to do and how you need to approach people, you know, if you want their help, I think really, you know, has helped all of us out tremendously.
Well, I think that's one of those things, you know, I talk to a lot of coaches who listen to this. Some of them are veteran coaches. Some of them are just getting into it, you know, and I think something you don't realize when you get started is just all the other things that it takes besides practice planning, besides lineup, besides putting a, you know, bunt on or whatever, like that fundraising piece, the program building stuff, you know, to have a mentor like that and then, you know, tweak it, making your own, it had to be an awesome experience for you. And again, the coaches you mentioned, like there's something special about those Whitewater guys. I think even just of that era, you guys all seem to be, you know, pretty close. And like, what does that mean to you? What is that fraternity, that brotherhood of like those guys staying in touch all these years together?
Yeah. You know, I think that's, you know, in addition to the, you know, still being able to, you know, go up to games and be proud that the program is what it is right now. You know, being around all those guys, I think when we were all up there at a game last year, I think there was 9 of us that are head coaches either in, you know, just from that group, like in that stretch of, you know, like 6, 7, 8 years. And, you know, like when all of us were all around and playing, there's 9 of us that are, you know, either in Wisconsin or down in Illinois that are head coaches. And, you know, there's more guys that are just inside or outside that area, you know, that are head coaches, you know, also. And I just think that, you know, like I said, a lot of that has to do with Mills. You know, he gave us a really good example of, you know, how to do a lot of things and how to run a program. And I think a lot of us carried that over, you know, into how we do things now.
I appreciate that. I mean, the other thing too, I want to touch on, like, you know, I talk to coaches that are in the private sector, or maybe they're a math teacher or an English teacher. And, you know, how does your full-time job, you know, how do you think that helps you become the baseball coach that you are?
You know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I've been a gym teacher in MPS for my 25th year. So, I mean, pretty much seen it all. And as you can imagine, on both ends of the spectrum, some really good, some not so really good. Pretty much been put in almost about every situation you can imagine, whether it's, you know, a teaching issue, you know, some kind of discipline issue, you know, administrative stuff. It's definitely helped being able to be in those different situations and then kind of relaying it into coaching, because it's like coaching and teaching, same thing, you know, one's in a classroom, one's on a field or on the court or whatever you're doing. So a lot of those lessons you can definitely carry over into your coaching stuff. And, you know, maybe a situation that you didn't particularly handle very well in one place or the other, when that situation arises in the other place, it's like, hey, well, this is how I did it, you know, in the classroom. It's like, yeah, maybe I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to take this approach because it didn't really turn out the greatest. So having the experiences and, you know, learning from mistakes, I think helps the most.
Well, I think the other thing that stands out that maybe, you know, coaches, teacher coaches take for granted is just being around young people all the time. You know, we spend so much of our day around adolescents. It's just what you do. You know, you're used to dealing with that 15 to 18 year old so much, and other people that don't, you know, coaching is their only fix, might have a little bit of an adjustment period. So I appreciate you tapping into that. I do want to pivot to the 2023 season though. You know, I want you just to start off, like when I bring up, you know, 2023 state champions, like just what's the first thing on your mind?
You know, with that group of guys, you know, just kind of, you know, a sense of pride, you know, it took, you know, coaching for 25 years, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there that coached as long as I have or longer that are a hell of a lot better coach than I am, you know, that were never fortunate enough to experience that. So it's not something that, you know, you kind of push to the side and it's like, oh yeah, it was great. Well, whatever. It's like, you know, as we sit right here in the call, I have, it's actually funny to say that, right underneath my TV, you know, our state championship ring is there in the box and it's looking at me right in the face, you know? So every time I come and sit in, you know, TV and watch TV in the rec room, it's like, it's there. It's like, you know, a sense of accomplishment. It's something that the kids really worked hard for, you know, and, you know, kind of our season last year, you know, we had talked about it. It's kind of the tale of like 3 seasons where we came out, played extremely well the first 10 games. Then we lost our way in the middle. You know, we were 500-ish. I think we were 6-6 for a stretch there. And, you know, I think when we went back, I went back and looked at that. And out of those 6 games we lost, I think we got beat once. You know, you had to tip your hat and be like, you know, hey, they beat us. And just little things we didn't do or things that didn't go our way that usually did. And it was just like, you know, and then kind of, you know, righted the ship a little bit at the end of the season when we had to. And it was like, it was almost like the guys just, you know, flipped the switch back on. And it was like, we were right back to where we were, you know, the first 10 games of the season. And, you know, fortunately for us, it stayed like that the rest of the way.
All right. So we got to go back into that season a little bit. And like, was there a turning point or were there certain moments, like you said, you went back and thought, you know, we gave some games away. Mm-hmm. Like, was there a turning point in that season where that switch did flip? Was it something that happened internally? Was it a meeting? Was it something one of the players brought up to you? Like, you know, was there a turning point in your 2023 season?
You know, I think the biggest thing was when we were playing and playing well one day, then not playing well tomorrow when we came out there. I, you know, it was just kind of the sense of the guys knew that it wasn't anything more than like, well, you know, we're just not playing well right now. It's not, there wasn't anything like in a specific game that I could tell you that, oh, you know, went south after this or anything. It was like, you know, it was just things didn't go our way, you know, some timely hitting on some other team's parts or, you know, maybe a pitcher walked a guy or we had an error and all of a sudden, you know, instead of getting out of the inning, well, it's 400 runs later and it's like we're scratching and clawing and couldn't come all the way back. And, you know, I think when we got to the end of the season, I remember talking to the guys, it was our last conference game because we had a halfway decent lead and through that stretch, we managed to give it all away. And we were a game in the loss column back behind Nicolet. And we had one game left and they had two. And, you know, we were playing against Slinger. And that was the one game the first time through. I would have to go back and check. I think that's the only time we got 10 run rules in the whole time I was at Whitefish Bay. They gave it to us that day. I mean, it was one of those where you tip your hat, you put your tail between the legs and, you know, tell the guys, hey, today's not our day. Let's get on the bus and let's go, you know, regroup for tomorrow. So we played them our last game of the regular conference season. And it was one of those, hey, you know, what do you guys want to do? It's like, this is a do or die for us for conference. I'm like, you lose, you have no chance. You know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, we went out there and, you know, Tyler ends up throwing, a two-hit shutout. And we beat him. You know, and as it turned out, you know, Nicolet faltered and then it was a four-way tie for first place. You know, but we won that game and it was kind of like the light switch just kind of went back on after that. And I think, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I want to say in our last 11 games, you'd have to go back and look to be sure, but I think we only gave up like 17 runs and five of them were to you guys up at State. You know, I mean, we just had great pitching performances. I think we had six shutouts in there. You know, I mean, we went through regionals and sectionals with three shutouts and a no hitter, you know, and had another one up at State. It was just, everything just clicked after that. And I think that was big that it was like, to be able to win the conference in any conference 4 years in a row, even though we shared it last year, you know, it was a pretty good accomplishment. And I think when the guys really kind of took that into perspective, what we had a chance to do, you know, being able to do that when the pressure was really on, you know, I can probably honestly tell you, you know, if we don't win that game, I don't know if we do what we did the rest of the way, you know? So I think that was huge. You know, there was four that game and then either three or four more left after that before we hit the playoffs. But, you know, that's when everything, you know, clicked and went back to, you know, the first two, 3 weeks of the season.
All right. So I appreciate that. I mean, what I want to touch on is, you know, throughout the years, you've had some all types of players. You've had incredible talent. You've had multi-sport kids. You've had, you know, all types of players that have contributed to your program. Are there guys that stand out from last year on the leadership side? Are there guys that are like, you know what, he grabbed the team and, you know, took this upon himself to do this? So maybe talk about the leadership aspect within the team on the player side in 2023.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, as a coach, you always want to have, you hope that your captains are those guys. And, you know, been very fortunate, like you said, for quite a long time to have some really good ball players, you know, and they were really good leaders. And I think that this last year, you know, Jack Council, JD Dix, and Austin Winkie, between, you know, Jack's at Michigan, JD's still there, is going to be a possible first round draft pick this year. He's going to Wake Forest, and Austin's playing at Marshall. Those guys, you know, I've never had, there might've been one of the three guys that were captains or sometimes two, but all three of those guys took it upon themselves, you know, not just to lead, you know, while we're doing drills or at practice, you know, it was like in games or like in school, getting guys together, getting team stuff together, you know, off of like official baseball time. And those guys were just, you know, they were fantastic. They were vocal. They led by example. You know, those weren't the three guys that are going to scream at you when you do something wrong. They'll pick you up. It was just, it was like having three more coaches. I mean, it was just awesome to watch those guys, and just the respect that the rest of the team had for those three guys. You know, there was never any bickering in the dugout. You know, even when things weren't going our way, you know, guys weren't yelling at each other, or, you know, the captains weren't complaining at people, you know, and telling them, hey, do this. And there was none of that. It was always positive stuff and picking each other up and, you know, trying to make sure what's done is done and let's move forward. And, you know, those guys being able to lead, in addition to, you know, being great players on the field, that had as much to do with us being as successful as anything. You know, it's like to have great leaders, and, you know, the more that you have, it makes our job easier. So, I mean, hats off to those three guys. Without, like I said, I mean, very good players on the field, but they did more than just play the game well. You know, they led very well.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that stands out to me is, again, watching you guys, playing against you guys last year, is there didn't seem to be a lot of panic. You know, it seemed like they were free and easy, kind of that suave mentality. They were laughing, having fun, getting excited for each other, you know, on the biggest stage. And I think that can be difficult to do for a lot of people, even for coaches. You know, I know, you know, coaches, we're competitive and our heart rates are going up, and, you know, you want it so bad, you've been so close. You know, yeah. Is there something you guys did internally to, it just felt like you guys were just playing free and easy and just, yeah. So that's one thing that stands out to me.
I think, you know, like we talked about a little bit earlier, with me being a little more wild, a little more in your face when I was younger. Most of the guys that are coaching will probably agree with me now. Kids are different than they were back then, where you may be able to get on somebody and they can look you in the face and nod and be like, yeah, I got you, coach, and then go out and do it. Kids are a little different now, you know, and I think one of the biggest things with this last group was, you know, I always told them, I said, hey, if we make a mistake, I'm like, we make a mistake, let's not let it turn into two and three. We can handle one. You know, we should be good enough to handle one. You know, we just can't let everything get out of control and, you know, let an error turn into three of them. And, you know, instead of, you know, getting out of that inning or maybe giving up one earned run, you know, like I said, hey, that's 4, 5, 6 earned runs later, and now you're in big trouble. You know, and just kind of being able to, you know, stay positive with those guys. Like, I'll use your game for a, you know, an example. You know, when the second home run was hit, you know, we went down 5-4, and, you know, the kids in the dugout, they were feeling themselves a little bit. We were up 4-0 before the first home run, and then, you know, we gave up the second one. And I remember looking in the dugout, look, guys, I'm like, guys, we're good. I'm like, we still got 3 innings left. I'm like, we're going to score again. And they're like, yeah, you're right, you know. And it's like, just kind of putting that out there. And, you know, even talking to Tyler when I took him out, he understood, you know, he got it. And I said, hey, you know, go get ready for Thursday. And he kind of looked at me like, you do plan on playing on Thursday, don't you? You know, full well knowing, hey, we still got to finish and let's hope for the best here. But just to give him that mentality, it's like, hey, we're okay. You know, let's get out of it and let's see what happens. But like I said, one of the lessons learned to kind of tone it down a little bit. And, you know, the old saying, I guess, you know, you catch more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. You know, it's kind of true. I've learned that over the years.
Well, I think the other piece too that stands out to me, you know, obviously our game, but then, you know, you go come back and you play an incredible game against a one seed, and then, you know, you play in the state finals, and you guys talk, you are in a neutral site, you are what feels like the away team of the away team. I mean, this is like to handle that environment, you know, for kids, for coaches, like, and to play how you guys play in the state finals, maybe go back to that environment. I mean, I give Hortonville a ton of credit, you know, for the community turning out. But that has to tap into your leadership skills. Like, how do you manage that?
You know, I think what really helped the most, and you know, when we beat you guys, you know, obviously the kids are all excited. We get to fight another day. We get to play one more game. Let's see what happens. You know, and we stuck around and watched the rest of those games. And, you know, they saw when Hortonville was there, you know, and they saw Burns pitching. And by the way, I'm glad neither one of us saw him last year because that wasn't happening. But, you know, they saw how it filled up. And they're like, Coach, this is crazy. They're like, this place is full. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I said, this is what it's all about. I said, they're, you know, 15, 20 minutes away. This is what it's like. And I said, if we run into them, you know, this is what it's going to be like. And then, you know, when they played their semifinal game, we were there again, same thing, packed. And we stayed and watched the whole game. And the kids saw, you know, how fired up they got at every little thing, like later on in that game, you know, every strike, you know, they're jumping up. And I was like being a Brewer game. You know, they, like you said, give Hortonville a lot of credit. The whole community came out and made it like, you know, an environment most of us are probably with high school kids, you know, unless you're playing somebody from up there, one of the Appleton teams or, you know, something like that, you're probably never going to get to be able to do that. And then I just think it wasn't a shock to them because they already saw it twice and they kind of like embraced it as like, hey, we're, you know, nobody thought we were going to be here. So, you know, we, because obviously having to go through you guys and then having to go through Point, it's like, I don't think anybody other than us thought that, you know, we had a chance to get to where we were. So I think it was that whole mentality. It's like, we're here, why not? You know, and it really helped, obviously, you know, scoring right away in that first inning and getting up on them. And you always know it's easier to play when, from ahead than behind. And, you know, from that point, the kids relaxed. You know, it's like, hey, I think there was maybe one or two times the crowd really got into it, you know, like the whole game. And, you know, they kids just went out and made plays and, you know, they embraced it. They thought it was, you know, the greatest thing to play in front of that many people. None of them have ever done that before. You know, some of those guys will, you know, get to do that in college now and play in front of bigger crowds. But, you know, at that time, a bunch of high school kids, you know, 16, 17, 18 year old kids being able to play in front of thousands of people, you know, especially when they're not cheering for you, you know, it was really cool.
Yeah, no, that's, I appreciate you going back in memory lane on that. The other thing I want to ask you is, you talk about managing the large crowds or, you know, Appleton and, you know, all the things that happen. You know, you mentioned it, you've had some incredible talent come through your program and obviously some big names, if it's, you know, Council or JD or, you know, so many other ones that come to mind, but it you know, when people think, wow, you just roll the balls out and they're going to beat everybody and it's a simple game. I think there's a real piece of having to manage the expectations of having, you know, that type of roster for some years, the expectations of, you know, having Council's kid on your team and, you know, PBR says this and this kid's committed here. Like, how do you go about managing those expectations and in coaching within that environment?
You know, I think the biggest thing with all those guys, you know, and I'm sure you tell your guys the same thing when you take a look at, you know, like you said, the PBR rankings or where you pick to finish in conference or who's writing this article about whichever kids. You know, my big thing with the guys, and I always told those guys, I'm like, hey, none of this means anything. I'm like, we got to go out and play. And I said, you know what? People aren't just going to roll over and die because, you know, you have Dukes across your chest. It's like, they're going to come out because this is their World Series. You're going to get everything that they have, you know, and even, you know, playing non-conference games, there's teams that are going to save, you know, their number one pitchers for us. We might have had three conference games, you know, that week. You know, we went through our top three guys and a couple relievers. So, you know, we have to, you know, put together a bullpen game, like, but they're coming to get us, you know, and you guys have to be ready. And that's one of the big things with all those guys. It was like, we have to be ready each and every day because, you know what? They treat everything, you know, like I said, like it's their World Series. And you guys have to look at it the same way because, you know what? There's going to be nothing that's going to make their year to be able to look at their schedule at the end there and see the W next to their name, you know, when they played us. And it was kind of like, it didn't matter if it was a non-conference game, if it was a conference game, you know, who it was. It was like, in my approach with those guys was always, hey, there's another team that's coming trying to beat us. Don't care who it is, you know, and I was always very careful to not really, you know, ramp it up too much. You know, obviously, you know, you get deep into the playoffs, you get state. I mean, it's bound to happen. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not saying people are shrugging their shoulders, like, yeah, whatever, go out and play. We'll see what happens. It's like, you know, you never let the kids get too full of themselves. But if something ever goes wrong, you never let them sit down there very long either. You get them back up. And I think that was the biggest thing with all those guys was just knowing it's like, hey, yeah, there's expectations on us and everybody says this and that, but you still have to go out and do it, you know? And yeah, a perfect example of that, the whole thing, you know, we, in the last couple of years, you know, we lost in two sectional finals, obviously, you know, you guys beat us. And then, you know, we lost to Union Grove in the sectional final also. So, you know, getting there, you know, especially, you know, Jack and Austin, because, you know, they were on some of those teams, JD was too, you know, being there and being in that situation, being so close and just not getting it done, you know, kind of fuels guys, you know, year after year. It's like, you know, and I can honestly tell you in a hypothetical, had we went to state in 22, you know, with Mitch and Michael and DJ and all those other guys, in addition to these guys, I don't necessarily think that, you know, we go again this year. It's like they're kids. You don't know. Are they going to come with it with the same intensity as they did? Are they going to be as hungry as they did? You know, and that was one of those things I really didn't have to tell the returning guys. It wasn't one of those things that's like, oh, you know, we got to do it this year. It's like they were motivated enough by coming up short against you guys in the sectional final the year before, you know, to, hey, we need to get back there. And this time, hopefully let's get back there and let's win that one and let's get up there, you know? So I think it's just, you know, it's treating all those guys the same. And it didn't matter. Like if it was Jack Council or JD Dix, or, you know, if it was a guy that was predominantly a relief pitcher, it's like you treated all the guys the same, you know, you talked to them all the same. If there was any kind of discipline that needed to be handed down, say somebody came late to practice, it was the same thing for, say, JD or Jack as it was for, you know, one of the relief pitchers or something. It's like, Grove, into you guys, you know, especially in that 22 team, you know as well as I do, they, from January on, you know, that's all you saw, the TV interviews, you saw the PBR, you saw everything else was, you know, the team, and that's what was going to happen. And, you know, you guys handled us in the sectional final last year in 22. And then for the guys that came back, especially that had a couple years of falling just a little short, you know, it wasn't really a ton of motivation that you had to give those guys. It's like, we were right there to get to the state tournament. And you're like, we didn't get it done, you know? So those guys kind of, you know, were pretty good as far as like motivating themselves. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, as a coach, I think most guys try and do is you treat everybody the same. So it's like, you know, Jack Council is held to the same standard as, you know, maybe one of our backup position players or a relief pitcher or something like that. It's like, hey, if, you know, hey, you're 5 minutes late to practice today and you didn't let me know, you got five poles. That was our thing. No different if it's him or if it's somebody else. Get there. Sorry, coach. Yeah, whatever. Go run your poles. And consistency of, you know, treating everybody the same way and talking to everybody the same way. The kids kind of know, it's like, oh yeah, you know, we're all held to the same standards. We're all accountable. And I think that kind of really helped keep that team, you know, together too.
Well, you touched on two major points there that I really want to emphasize. I mean, you know, with the kids in your programs, and I think a lot of programs throughout the state, like you get varsity level athletes, you know, motivation shouldn't be something coaches really have to deliver, that a win one for the Gipper speech. And even, you know, like you said, and as you advance in the playoffs, or you may be eyeing towards that conference championship environment, like the pressure's already built in. Like you don't need to, you know, you don't need to hype it up any more than it is. Right? It's a different sport. So I think that's an interesting piece. One thing I wanted to ask you, between, you know, Craig Council, you know, whatever people thought about this offseason, I know you and I have talked off the air about it, but having Jack and Brady come through, having Craig in the community for so long, like being, having a relationship with him, like what nuggets was he able to give you? Like, just maybe reflect on that relationship with Craig and what it meant to have him close to your program.
Yeah, it was awesome having him around. You know, from the time that I got there, you know, 16 years ago, I think one of the biggest things was when I first met him during that winter, you know, he was very cordial. He was very open about, hey, if you ever need anything, you know, just let me know. I'll be more than happy to help, you know, however I can help you guys. And it was like, I was a little leery. I mean, because it's Craig Council, you know, it's like, I don't really want to ask him for too much here. You know, so at the beginning, I didn't, because I just kind of wanted to let him be. And if, you know, he was around and stuff, it was great. But it got to the point where I was comfortable enough talking to him and being like, hey, would you mind coming, you know, when he was home during the winter, would you mind coming to open gym and, you know, working with our infielders a little bit? And absolutely, anytime I ever asked him to do any of that, he was always more than open to coming and do it. He was always, you know, helping us with everything. You know, he was always around the field. You know, like even when we were the year 20, was it 20 with COVID when we didn't play? You know, he was around also, and it was like, he took it upon himself to like grab the guys. If there was going to be a chance we were going to have a season, he would take the guys out to the field, you know, on his own and work all the guys out and, you know, set things up and like scrimmage with them, get the pitching machine out and, you know, do all that stuff, hit them ground balls and everything. And, you know, any way that he ever wanted to be involved with the program, obviously I was more than willing to have him be associated with us in any way, in every way, shape or form. You know, it's not very often that many people get the chance to, you know, talk to him, like have regular conversations with a, you know, a big league manager like that and somebody that played in the big leagues for so long. So it was great to have him around and be very supportive. He was always 100% supportive of whatever was going on. You know, he'd come to games and just, he'd stood around, you know, like with just the other dads. He was, you know, in Whitefish Bay, he was, Craig, you know, came and talked to the other dads, stood in the stands with them, sat in the bleachers with them, you know, sat at the grill and, you know, had burgers and brats with everybody. And, you know, just one of the guys while you're out there, if you were just looking around, you know, you wouldn't know, you know, it's not like he was treated any differently. You didn't expect anything different out of anyone. You know, he was never the kind of person that said, well, you know, you might want to think about doing it this way, you know, and whenever I had questions for him, he would answer anything, whether it's, hey, you know, how could, you know, what could we do, you know, a little differently? Like, hey, can we maybe mix up some things like some new infield drills or anything you see that, you know, what's going on? And, you know, he was always very supportive of how we did things. And, you know, it was obviously great having both Brady and Jack play, you know, two of the best players that ever came through. I don't think anybody would argue with that. And, you know, just having those guys be around baseball their whole lives and learning from their dad, I mean, that made my life obviously so much easier, because you weren't really breaking down very many things through him, because, you know, dad did that for him already. And it's like, what am I going to tell you that your dad hasn't told you, you know? So it was awesome to have him around, and I really appreciate everything, you know, that he did.
Well, that's great to hear. I think, you know, from an outside perspective, it says a lot about you and your security and your leadership to be able to manage all of that. You know, I know it probably some people see, well, as a blessing, and some people might see it as a curse. I mean, to have those types of families, influential parents, counsel, you know, high-end talent could be really intimidating for guys. And I think it's a real kudos to you and your leadership to be able to manage that so well for so long. And, you know, obviously state championship and everything else, but like for the time in which you did it. So as you've kind of closed that chapter in Whitefish Bay, you've now, you know, have a new challenge in front of you. You're off to head baseball coach at Germantown now starting in 2024. So maybe give us a peek behind the curtains a little bit of what's the program looking like, what excites you the most, you know, as we get going here pretty soon.
You know, just being around all the guys, because I was hired at the end of October, and, you know, having a meeting right away and getting to know all those guys and getting to meet them, I think the thing that stood out with me right away is, like, you know, the first meeting that we had about 70 kids there. And just to see, like, and honestly, it was like 70 kids, like, looking at you and, like, everything that you say, you know, they were listening to it, nodding heads. And, you know how kids are today, attention spans, not really the greatest. So it's like, I was kind of looking around and, all right, who's going to pull their cell phone out and start, you know, watching TikToks or, you know, whatever they're doing, or bumping their buddy and, you know, starting to talk and stuff like that. But, you know, we were probably in there for, I don't remember, like 20, 30 minutes. And, you know, it was like 70 sets of eyes on you, like everything that you said, or like when Wolfie was talking or Brad was talking, you know, it's like, everybody's just like listen to everything that was kind of said. And, you know, attendance at open gyms has been great. You know, I couldn't ask for, you know, the dedication and the amount of effort and time those guys are all, putting in. And you would know better than I, because you've seen them all for a couple of years, like firsthand, and played against them. There's some talent. I mean, there's some kids that can play, you know, and then there's some younger guys, some freshmen, some sophomores that are legit. You know, it's just, and as I'm starting to meet more people and, you know, talk to people that are involved with the juniors program and Little League and stuff like that, just all the people that are willing to help out and willing to give you, you know, some of the feedback or help you out with, you know, indoor practice facilities, or saying, hey, this is how things went in the past. Choose to do them if you want, or if you want to do them a different way. And people have just been really helpful and supportive. And like the parents that I've had a chance to talk to, like at booster club meetings or like at with the junior Warhawks coaches, everybody's been great. So, you know, honestly, I couldn't ask for a better situation to be in. It's just, we have a bunch of kids that are all in, and it seems like a bunch of parents that are all in too. And, you know, very similar to in the past, there's talent there. So, you know, I'm really excited for this year to get going and see where we end up. I mean, I look at it as, you know, it's fun. It's going to be great to play you guys twice a year. You know, it's always fun playing against Marquette and Brook Central and everybody in the conference, you know. New challenge, you know, for me, you know, obviously coming from the North Shore for that long, but, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun so far getting to know the kids and watching the time and effort that they're all putting into it. And, you know, hopefully it translates onto the field. I mean, we'll see. That's why we got to go and play the games, you know, and, you know, kind of take it and see what happens. Hopefully we can challenge you guys a little bit this year and see what we can do.
Well, you know, it's funny. I talk to coaches, and we all, you know, every off season is different. Everyone's working on something different in the off season, you know, and in your situation, you know, you're moving schools and you're given a fresh face to a program. So what big things are you working on this off season? I know you had to go through the hiring process, not only you getting the job, but having to hire a staff. Like, what else are you working on this off season?
You know, I think the biggest thing is being able to talk to the kids and find out kind of how things went, you know, in the past with, I guess, like coaching philosophies, how some things were done and things like that. And I mean, you know me pretty well. We like to get out there. We like to go, you know, we'll put pressure on you. We're trying to push the envelope all the time. You know, our pitchers there's not going to be a lot of messing around. We're going to try and come and get you. And hey, you beat us. Tip your hat, we'll go to the next hitter and let's go. You know, and I think it's the biggest thing is trying to get those guys to understand and realize, even though with me not being there as my first year, knowing the talent that has there, you know, we've talked about some of the kids that are coming back this year. You know, I've talked to Sam Keller quite a bit. You know, Sal's talked to me about, you know, some of the guys. So just having a general understanding of, you know, there's talent there. And it's like, you guys have to believe that you're going to go out there and you're going to get it done. And when we put everything together, you know, get them into that mindset is like, you know, we put everything together, we're going to be pretty good. You know, we'll go out there. Hey, we're going to win some, we're going to lose some. And if you guys play like you can, we're going to win a lot more than we lose. And just kind of put that in their heads with, you know, being confident in themselves, you know, cause last couple of years, you know, little over five game or two over 500. And, you know, just kind of trying to tell them, you know, without assuming too much, but say, we got to be better than that because there's too much talent around to be okay, and getting them to believe that. So that's kind of one of the big things that I'm working on right now. And like I said, the effort and the time that they're putting in and the extra things that they're all doing, I mean, it's all leading in that direction. But you know as well as I do, I mean, look great in the batting cage, you know, hitting off a machine or taking BP, a whole different story. You step outside when it's 35, 40 degrees and, you know, one of your guys is throwing 88 against us and throwing the ball inside on our hands and see what we can do. So trying to get that confidence to, you know, transfer from some of the things that we're doing now to once we start playing for real, I think that's the biggest challenge for me, is getting him into the mindset of, you know, hey, we could be pretty good, you know, from that maybe to, you know, we are going to be pretty good. I think that's kind of my big challenge for right now.
Well, if you know any kids who throw 88 and could pitch inside, you can send them our way. We'd love to take them. Just picked up at the time, so I'll hit you with one more question. So, you've had an unbelievable career thus far. You're far from over. Like you said, a new job. Reflecting on 2023 season, a couple stops along the way. It's the old Brian K. million-dollar question. Like, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started? And, you know, kind of leads into some lessons for other coaches who are listening to this.
I think the biggest thing like now is, you know, like I mentioned, I'm a little more calm now than I was back in the day, but I think the willingness and the biggest thing that I would say to some of the guys that are just starting out, you know, first year, second year, I mean, when you have the opportunity to sit down and talk to guys that have been around for a while, you know, ask as many questions as you can, because I think one of the great things that happened to me was like first coming over into the North Shore. You know, when I first got here, I mean, Jack Freese, Hall of Famer, Dougie Gonnering, Hall of Famer, you know, Billy Albrecht, Hall of Famer, Ernie Millard, Hall of Famer, you know, Dick Sykes, Hall of Famer. I mean, half of the guys in our conference, you know, were Hall of Fame coaches. And it's like to be able to talk to those guys and ask them questions or observe, you know, how they did things, and just pick up as much information as you can of guys, you know, that have been there and done that. You know, I think that's probably the biggest thing, is I wish that when I was younger, that when I had the opportunity to talk to some guys, that I would have asked a couple more questions and not been as intimidated as like, well, you know, I'm me and I've been coaching for 2 years. It was like, you know, back in the day, like when I can use for a great example, like when OD was the coach out at Arrowhead when I first started, it was like the first couple of years, it was like, I would, yes, sir, no, sir, be polite to him and stuff like that. And didn't want to ask any questions because I didn't think that I could. And, you know, he just came up to me one day. I still remember this day. We just started talking after a game when we beat him there. And he was the nicest man in the world. And he's like, you ever need anything, you want questions, like ask me whatever. And I was like, well, that was kind of cool, because he didn't really have to. It's like my second or third year, whatever it was. Like, he didn't have to do that. And, you know, whenever I would see him, I would try and ask him questions or try and watch, you know, how he did things. And it was like, and I didn't really kind of figure out that, you know, coaches are more than willing to talk, you know, as we're sitting here right now yapping about baseball for the last hour, coaches are more than willing to talk about baseball and help you out. And I just wish I would have asked some more questions, you know, later on or earlier on, you know, and didn't wait so long to start asking so many people so many questions. Cause, you know, I've learned so much from talking to everybody, you know, talking to you and talk to Voe all the time and Stouty and Feather and everybody. And, you know, like I mentioned, those five guys that were in the conference talking to everybody all the time. It's just, you take what works for other people that you like and kind of try and mold your own philosophy and style of play and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's the most important thing is, you know, you're always going to run into somebody that knows more baseball than you, and there's no harm in asking questions and trying to learn some new stuff. So I wish I would have started doing that a little bit earlier, because I probably could have got a little bit more valuable information out of some of the really great coaches that I coached against when I was younger.
And there it is. Huge thank you goes out to Coach Woj for jumping out with us today. Man, it's just a powerful episode as I think about, you know, his leadership and this new chapter of his coaching career. And I just had this thought. I was thinking about it today. Like I said, this is coming out the Sunday before Monday tryouts, and the state of Wisconsin is going to open up for high school baseball. And I just want to say thank you. Like, thank you for tuning in to these episodes. The feedback I get is awesome. I love doing it. But I also just had this thought today of like, man, coach to coach, like, I respect the hell out of you. I really do. It's the next 2.5-3 months is an absolute grind. You know, you're working full time. You got family demands. You got work demands. Parents, community. You know, everybody's program's in a different spot. And, you know, everybody's fighting battles, some same, some different. But, like, I respect the hell out of you. You know, the work, I respect the work, because you know what it takes when you've been doing it for a while. This is my 21st year coaching high school baseball, my 15th season. as a head coach. Like, it just, time just flies. And, you know, Woj talks about the relationships and the guys you meet and, you know, the different phases of your career. And that really hit home for me as I think about, you know, where I'm at in my career and as we start another season. And yes, I'm a very competitive person. I know if you're listening to this, you're a competitive person. I love you, but I want to beat you, you know, kind of mentality. But man, I just, baseball is full of a lot of good dudes. And just, let's just remember that as the season goes on. And, you know, let whatever happens on the field happen on the field. And, you know, I respect you, your coaches, the work you do. And, yeah, hopefully you take care of yourself this season, because I know it's something I struggle to do as well. You know, feel like your phone's always buzzing. You have a tough time sleeping. You're chasing something all the time. And try to sit back and just be present and enjoy it. And it's a beautiful game. You know, we have a phenomenal people in the state of Wisconsin working with young people. If you're listening to this, you're one of them. So thank you for the work that you do, tuning in these episodes. And, you know, joining us this whole season. It's 7 episodes in. We were, you know, hit a bunch of different types of coaches. Hopefully you got some value from it. I know I did. And I'm going to try to get you one more episode maybe next week. But until then, have a great, you know, first day of the 2024 season. And yeah, when I run into you, let's say hi and have a soda. And hopefully you have a great season and enjoy the work.